Welcome to the author show of Entrepreneurship and Regional Development Podcast. Each publication in our journal is a great opportunity to share significant and audacious contributions to a large audience. My guest today is Andrew Greenman from Norwich Business School. He recently published an article entitled Grow to Last or Grow to Sell: Strategy Making and Narrative Identity Refocusing in Business Support Programs. He co-authored this paper with Johnny Oster and Susan Marlow. It has been published in Entrepreneurship and Regional Development, journal edited by Taylor and Francis. Andrew, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you, Vincent. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Can you tell us, what is the origin of your paper? Why have you decided to address this particular topic, and what is the question you aim to answer?
Yeah, sure. So in terms of the origin story is quite a long one, so I'll keep it brief, but it spans well over a decade. So the original idea for the paper sort of started when all three co-authors were invited to join a growth program. So this was something that was organized by a leading university in the UK, and it was sponsored by the local city council. And it was part of a broader growth city plan, which was a public-private sector collaboration. And as part of the plan, the idea was to train or develop the sort of leadership and management skills in entrepreneurial small businesses locally. The sort of context for this was, this is how far back it goes. So it was following the 2008 crash and the recession that followed in the UK. So it was low growth, which there still is, which is why the data we think is still relevant. And one of the areas that the local authorities saw as a potential growth was increasing the sort of growth capabilities, leadership capabilities of the SMEs. And again, a part of the context here is, lots of changes in the UK over the past decade. Obviously, Brexit, leaving EU, the recessions that we've had, that meant that foreign direct investment was going down. So there was a sizable chunk of money that came our way that enabled us to run four cohorts of SME owners. And they participated in this 12x8-hour workshops over a period of a year. The idea of the program was that they would develop sort of general, almost like a mini MBA. So these programs have become quite popular now. In the UK, they're centrally funded by government. But at the time, this was something that was developed in-house by an exec education team. So we were sort of added to the program, if you like, as mentors, coming from a sort of mixture of entrepreneurship and strategy backgrounds. And we delivered some of the workshops or some of the content, not a huge amount, but we delivered some of the content. But what we were added into the programs was a sort of academic lead to help facilitate the learning and basically troubleshoot any problems that participants had, and also to mentor. And what that meant is that we were there in all of the workshops. We got to know the participants very well. And I think in the end, we did about 450 hours of sort of fieldwork observations in the workshop, but also in the sort of informal gatherings that went on behind the scenes. So there were very generous lunch breaks and breaks in this program. There was an hour and a half per workshop. You know, that's quite unusual in the UK context. So it was quite a privilege, really, to have that time to chat to people and get to know more about their business. And then we were also asked to attend informal events as well that were organized by the participants. So we got to know them really well. And then from that, we started to, capture our observations in field notes. We used photography and they produced growth posters. These posters contained sort of proto strategies, if you like, of how they were going to grow their business. Whilst the posters were interesting, which they presented at the end of the program, what was really interesting for us was observing how they were going through this process of coming up with a strategy, which to most of them was a new idea. They were a mixed group of participants. Some were very new. The commonality was that they all lacked management training. So things like strategy, leadership, these were all new terms to them. So they're quite an interesting group to observe. And then in addition to the participants, we had lots of mentors who were academics, faculty members. We also had venture capitalists. We had angel investors. We had successful sort of senior executives from local corporations. So there was, partners from professional service firms. So there was quite a diverse group of people in the room, a lot of them with experience of developing strategy at various different levels, but the participants themselves were new to it. So a long-winded origin story, but that gave us a context then where we could sort of think, well, what's actually going on here? And what became really interesting to us was the relationship between not just the strategy that the participants were developing for their business, But what was clearly clear to us, the sort of identity, the personal work that was going on as well. So that led to our sort of question gap, if you like. When we started to look at the literature, it became clear that there were some excellent recent reviews of the entrepreneurial identity literature. And one of the gaps that was identified was a lack of understanding or lack of research, understanding how entrepreneurs made sense of growth and how that informed their identity. So really, we sort of explored that gap, looking at how the entrepreneurial identities were evolving and changing in relation to growth experiences, and specifically as they were repeatedly asked to sort of engage in strategy work.
What are the main contributions of your paper?
So in terms of the main contributions, I think what we've done here is we've sort of elaborated using the strategy as practice research. Obviously, there's some interesting, what do you call it, cross-fertilization between strategy as practice and entrepreneurship as practice and other as practices. But I think what we've done here is, mainly because of the knowledge within the authorship team, we were able to really drill into the strategy narrative and link that to identity. So I think what we contribute here is understanding of how SME owners who are new to strategy make, how that influences their identity work. And I think the sort of contributions that we add are we show how that works at an individual level. So we look at how repeatedly doing strategy work does something at the individual biography level. So that's the sort of the ongoing self-narration work. But we also show how there was a collective dimension as well. So the identity work wasn't just being done through narrating self, it was also being done by narrating strategy at a collective level. And I think what our contribution there is we use the concept of temporal work, which is well established in the sort of strategic management strategies practice literature, but perhaps not so well used in entrepreneurship. So we sort of import that and then connect that to the sort of more traditional entrepreneurial identity work, looking at narrative, and show how there was something interesting going on when participants repeatedly asked to reflect on past growth experiences, think about their current challenges, and then also project into their sort of future expected outcomes. So I think I think the contribution we're making there is responding really to the gap that Radu Lefebvre et al. Identified, which is this question of how does entrepreneurial identity evolve and change over time, specifically in relation to how entrepreneurs structure and organize and grow their ventures.
What was for you the main theoretical, maybe methodological challenge or challenges in addressing such a question?
So there are lots of challenges. I think the first challenge was we started with the sort of narrative identity role literature, you know, seminal studies in that area. And actually, you know, when we initially submitted, we were still working with that framework. Role identity has been well used to look at how entrepreneurs sort of make sense of growth or how their roles change in relation to growth. But it just didn't feel right. There was something that just wasn't quite clicking. And, we were not entirely confident, I think, when we initially submitted that role theory and narrative role theory was going to help us here. And, through the review process, that got exposed as a weakness. So we had to sort of go back to the drawing board a little bit, still working within narrative identity. And think, you know, what is narrative really adding here? If it's not role, what is it? And I think we decided to stick with narrative identity theory, but that was where drawing on strategy as practice literature really helped us to think about the temporal dynamics and how it is that people don't just do growth, they implot growth into their individual life experiences, but they also create these what we call trajectories, and that influences the type of organizing activities that they engage in when they grow. So I think that was a key challenge for us, getting the narrative, the use of narrative theory correct. Methodologically, I think we were reasonably okay in that we had really, really good access to this group of participants over a very long period of time, you know, at least 8 years. So that enabled us to go back, do repeat interviews, repeat observations, and we got to see how their businesses were growing over time. So I think in terms of access, that gave us a good advantage. So we always had rich empirical material to work with, and we had to work hard to build the trust and access that data. But I think methodologically, perhaps less of a challenge compared to getting the theoretical framing right.
During your research journey, what was your biggest surprise or maybe the most counterintuitive result?
Okay. Yeah, good question. So I think the biggest surprise for us was the impact that doing strategy work would have. We didn't design the program. The program was designed by an executive education team, and they were coming from more of a corporate learning approach. So for them, strategy work was sort of, you know, bread and butter. It's what you do as you go higher in the organization, you do more strategy work. And I don't think they were really expecting the SME owners to be quite as perhaps resistant or just unsure of what strategy was. So I think a really big insight for us that was a bit counterintuitive was that you can't just assume that entrepreneurs will know what strategy is, know how to do it. So there was a lot of work done to sort of develop what Kornberger and Clegg call their strategic literacy. So that was quite an interesting observation, which enabled us to then really dig into, well, what differences or how does growth and narrative relate to entrepreneurial identity. I think then the sort of counterintuitive part was coming up with this notion that there was multiple trajectories or multiple ways of implotting growth into your biography or coming up with a growth trajectory. And the idea that there was different sort of pathways. So we have two main pathways, this sort of incremental, slow strategic management growth and this more faster, accelerated on sort of venture capital type exit driven growth. That was perhaps, you know, expected from the literature, but it was unexpected from the empirical data. And then the last part, I suppose, would be that some of the entrepreneurs just refused, resisted, rejected any attempts to sort of integrate the material from the course into their own narrative identity work. So they did this by reinforcing their family affiliations or their occupational affiliations. And for some of them, the sort of more creative type businesses, their sort of artistic or aesthetic craft type identities as well. So I think somewhere between those, we came up with some counterintuitive findings about how entrepreneurs implot growth in different various ways.
What are the main implications of your work for entrepreneurs, managers, policymakers, practitioners in general?
Yeah, so I think the main implications for practice, if you like, for entrepreneurs is that strategy making and support programs is a really useful but underdeveloped tool. But it's not, they must approach it not just in the perspective of, oh, these people are asking me to create a plan. You know, maybe I don't really buy into the whole idea of plans. You know, I'm very busy. What's the use of a plan? I think there's that hurdle to overcome. But I think if they stick with the process, the old cliche, you know, stick with the process and repeatedly go through the strategic planning exercises, as long as there's scope there for them to discuss it collectively, take it back to the office, discuss with colleagues, discuss with suppliers, I think then at that level, it starts to have a sort of deeper impact on their identity work. So one of the things that one of the participants said when they were reviewing their experiences was, you know, you need to buy into this. You need to make changes. You need to actually do stuff with the material they're giving you. It's not just about the plan. So I think that would be my advice is to, if you're on these programs, embrace them wholeheartedly, try new things and be prepared to be challenged as well in terms of who you think you are and what you think you're doing. Because I think that's where the sort of more interesting identity work can emerge. And for policymakers, I mean, I think the key finding for us was that these type of programs can work. They can have an impact, but perhaps not always in the ways that are obvious or quantifiable as well. The program was evaluated for the sponsor, and it did produce the expected outcomes in terms of jobs protected or jobs added or increases in revenues and profits and investment and all the rest of it. But in addition to that, I think there was another layer that the sponsor was really very positive about, actually, which was helping to sort of develop in a more sort of qualitative way these entrepreneurs' identities and their experiences of growth.
Thanks a lot, Andrew, for participating to our show and presenting your paper entitled Grow to Last or Grow to Sell: Strategy Making and Narrative Identity Refocusing on Business Support Programs. All our podcasts are available on entrepreneurship-eod.com and on the main podcast platforms.